Tonight we are continuing our study on the doctrines of God, His nature and attributes. Now, before we begin, I will read to you Psalm 139, verse 1 to 6. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and I am acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue. Alone, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thy hand upon me. And as I said, we continue our studies on the doctrine of God, His nature and attributes. And so this will be part 9 of this study. And this passage will come to it as when we come to look at the details of our subject. But to remind ourselves of last week we looked at the will of God. And this has to do with His purpose and plan concerning His creation. And that is God's purpose and plan concerning His creation. And in this we learn the two aspects of His will, His revealed will and also His secret will. And we said that His revealed will has to do with all that He has made known to us by His word, all His commands, the counsels, the warnings, the promises, the Holy Scriptures, which are to teach us how to live according to His will, how to live aright. All are His revealed will for us. And it is His purpose for us to know them, by them come to know Him. And we even went further to look at His revealed will concerning our redemption through the Lord Jesus Christ, where the gospel testified to everyone that hear the gospel. And we also thought of His secret will, which has to do with His thoughts and purposes within Himself, which He efficaciously carries them out without failure. That is His own purposes, which is known to Him alone. And these purposes and His thoughts, He only carries them out by His own will without failure. And properly speaking, this is His sovereign will, because His revealed will for that men can choose to obey or not, which there's consequence. But then when it comes to His secret will, there is no conditionality. It is what He does and what that, even with that, it is ruled by His own revealed will. That God will always do things that are right. Though He has power to do all things, He will never do things that are not right. He's holy. So that even those secret will we speak about, He carried them out in holiness, so that whether the ones revealed or those in secret, they are all the will of the Holy God, who will carry all them out according to His holy and secret will. So we are looking at tonight, we are going to the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. This is also another attribute of God. God, we are told, has knowledge. And look at 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 3. There's an expression that Hannah said about God. Said that, "For the Lord is a God of knowledge." The Lord is a God of knowledge. And this expression carries so much meaning. The Lord is a God of knowledge, meaning that God has knowledge which reaches all things. And because Hannah was rejoicing when she had a son, because she had been troubled for many years, and that she was praising God. And he was trying to tell the enemies of God that they should keep quiet and keep silent. And also they shouldn't act unwisely, because God is the God of knowledge. He knows the actions of men, even if they act them in pretense. So God is the God of knowledge. But it's a general term that tells us that God's knowledge reaches all things, everything. And well, this attribute of God distinguishes Him from all other false gods, because He's a living God, and as a living God, He's a God of knowledge, and this attribute distinguishes Him from all false gods, because all other gods are unintelligible gods. They are not intelligent. They don't have knowledge. In Isaiah chapter 44, verse 9, we are told that they that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and they are delectable things that shall not profit, and that they are their own witness. They see not, nor know, that they may be ashamed. The idols, all other things that are called gods, have no knowledge. They know not. They see not. Meaning they have no knowledge of things. They know not. They see not. So they have no knowledge. But our God, the God of knowledge. False gods have no sight nor knowledge of persons and things. They cannot see those who worship them, nor have any idea of those who worship them, or know things about them. Also, false gods have no knowledge of present or future things. All those false idols, and when I say false, well, I'm sure for us in Africa, we know these images that are erected for the same gods, idols in those places. But then, all these erections that put there, those images, whether in form of animals or humans or whatever, they are all without knowledge. They cannot speak. They cannot give out anything. But interestingly, I'm sure we have heard of some people claiming that some idols, gods give them information when they consult them. And all those things are not real. They are not true. They are all done by satanic influences. And sometimes this the influence, this comes to their worshippers. And these worshippers may claim to receive instructions from them. I'm sure we have heard people speaking about some idol somewhere giving instructions about things. These are influenced by Satan. The idols erected have no power. They have no knowledge. They have no intelligence. And so through evil practice of divination, people seem to get information from these false idols or gods erected up. But we know that often they are proven to be lies. Often they are proven to be lies, even as whatever they claim to receive from them. Because we know that Satan, who influenced them, himself is deceived. Satan is deceived, and he's a deceiver, and he deceives himself. So Satan, because he always wants to dishonor God, tries to work through these false things, and then he influences the worshippers to as if to they can hear something. I'm sure we have witnessed some of the shrines and other things. Some of us have witnessed, and as if those fetish priests will be receiving information from them, and as if they are instructions. They are all lies. They are never true. The idols themselves cannot speak. We know that the Ten Commandments, and God Himself has spoken from heaven. Apart from speaking to His prophet, His words have been heard. He has spoken. But this fetish priest trying to speak as if they are receiving instruction from their idol, making this idol as if they have knowledge. They have knowledge of things. These are all practice of divination. It's satanic work to deceive people as if when you erect these things, you can have information from them. In Psalm 96, verse 5, the Bible tells us, "For all gods of the nations are idols. They are just images. They are nothing. They are mere icons of vanity." And I'm saying it because in Africa and in Ghana, many people have that idea. Oh, the idols are, yes, they are there. The gods can influence them. They cannot do anything. Just imagine the history of the world, the Greek, the Romans, these powerful kingdoms, and their gods, the idols they worship. Where are they? When the kingdoms were brought down, the idols were not able to help them. I've read St. Augustine's treatise on the city of God. He dealt with such, and he was arguing for the point that which of the nations had their idols or gods save them when they were come to be destroyed. And he gave so many instances. But you know, in Africa, people think, these things are real, and that these idols, that these traditional worshippers worship, have some power. They have no power. It is, if anything happens, it is Satan who tries to influence things so that if there's some power there, they have no power. They are all icons of vanity. They are without knowledge of things present or future. And through, again, spirit of divination, this practice of divination, he may try to tell people future things. Satan knows something, so Satan may influence them, but Satan doesn't know everything. So often, as I said, all they say turns out to be lies, and there's no hope. So, generally, God is a God of knowledge, but as I've said, Satan and his work and his means of dishonoring God will try to make it as if other images erected are also put in the course of knowledge. They have no knowledge at all. But God is a God of knowledge. We know he has spoken his word by himself and also by his prophet and also by his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to speak to us. Not only does God have knowledge, all capacities to know come from him. All capacities to know, every ability to know come from him, whether natural or spiritual. Natural intelligence and the knowledge of things come from him. In Psalm 94 verse 10, we are told that he that teacheth man knowledge, all that man has, all that man can know, whether natural things or spiritual, God teaches us. It is he who has given us the capacity to learn and to know things and to be able to even know about him. So that knowledge by all rational beings, angels and humans, are bestowed by God. So that he is not just God himself that he has knowledge of things, he gives knowledge, he gives the ability to know. It is his, which again is in contradiction to these idols of nations or false worshippers. None of them can claim to be able to give ability to for people to know anything. But God teaches man knowledge. He teaches man knowledge. Not only man, even angels and all that they know come from him. Satan himself and all that he knows, it was God who gave him. God, he was a creator. God created him. So that when God deprives men of knowledge, they grow in ignorance. And whether natural or spiritual, when we talk of natural knowledge, if God should deprive us of ability to know, we can know nothing, even about natural things. So that those who have ability to know many things, it's a gift, natural gift, natural talent. It's not theirs, it's a gift that we're giving to them. There are others who were born also, who have no that capacity, who cannot know many things as them. But then, whatever it is, because we know that we have physical of psychological madness and also spiritual madness. When people's intelligence are taken from them, they grow mad about things in this world. And also, when by sin, all men are ignorant and all men have no knowledge, true knowledge of God. So spiritual ignorance is also there. So that all knowledge comes from God, not only that he has it, he is the one who gives the abilities to know. Whenever we think of knowledge, we think of God. Knowledge, and you know, our world today, we praise knowledge, and yet we forget the God of knowledge because we think we are wiser than him. Okay, now the extent of God's knowledge. How far does his knowledge go? How deep and how wide it is? He has revealed in the scriptures that he knows all things. He is omniscient. That's the term that is used for him. He is omniscient. He knows all things. He knows all about his creatures. All that he has created, he knows everything about them. He knows all things inanimate in the whole of the universe. When we think of the whole universe, the earth and all the solar system, the living things and living things, everything that is in the world, he knows about them, for he made them all. He knows everything about them. In Psalm 147, 4 to 5, we are told that he telleth the number of the stars. God, the stars, all the starry images, light we see, and even the planets, he tells us their number. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power, his understanding is infinite. Even with the best of my telescope, man is not able to get to know all the stars. We can see the Milky Ways and other things in the sky, and we cannot number them. But the Bible tells us that he telleth the number of the stars. Then telling the number means knowledge. He has knowledge about them. Again, Isaiah 40, verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who has created these things? that bringeth out their host by number. Here too is again telling us God bringing these stars out by their number. He calleth them by them all by names by the greatness of his might. He tells us of knowledge. He names them. He's able to bring them out and call them by their names. And only he can do that. Nobody can number the stars in the skies. Nobody can do that. He tells the extent of his knowledge. And for that he is strong in power, not one filleth. Even his knowledge, his strength is as same as his knowledge. His knowledge of things never changes. It's the same. And that all that he knows about things is all that things ought to be. The man knows things by progression, but that is not so with him. But we know he's immutable God, so his knowledge does not. And yet, everything that come and go, he knows about it. He knows all the irrational creatures, all animals, whatever form it is. In Psalm 50, verse 10 to 11, for every beast of the forest is mine, says the Lord, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field. He knows all the birds. Just imagine all the birds. And I know there are people who study about birds, and all the time they will tell us they have discovered that bird and here and all that. And there are many birds that are extinct, that are no more living. And God knows all of them. He knows all those animals. And he tells us of his knowledge, how great it is. And also of the fishes in the rivers, he knows them, because he could send one to even swallow Jonah. He knows all the fishes. He commands them. He knows them. That when Jonah was running away from him, he could send a fish to swallow him. And even remember of Elijah, when the Lord helped him, told him to go and hide at the brook Cherith, he sent a bird to give him a food. You see, he can call this and send them. He knows them. They hear his voice. They could hear him. It's amazing. That also, the Lord knows all things. He also knows the extent of their existence. Not that he knows about them, because he made them, he knows the period of each of these animals, their time of existence. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 to 30, Jesus Christ said, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father, meaning without your father's knowledge. Sparrows, bears, they are just saying that they are so cheaply, but not one falls to the ground without his knowledge. Meaning that the death, the how animals come out to the world and how they die, even look at them, he knows about them. Not that he knows, he has given them life. He brought them to be, and he knows about them. And this tells us of the extent of his knowledge. That's even the best. And I remember some years ago, I used to sit down, when I see ants, I would look at them, and I just imagine the millions of thousands of ants and insects all over the world. He knows about them. They are each one of them. Look at how we even step on them and all that. But their life, how long they will live, God knows. He knows all those things, the extent of their existence. Because they that are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father's knowledge. He knows about animals. It's not amazing. And he knows the exact time and the purpose of everything. They are known to him. His knowledge goes to that far. Also, he distinctively knows all things about each human being. Look at this. Beasts and creature animals that are not intelligible, that are not moral beings. He knows about them. How much more human beings? In the same Matthew chapter 10, verse 30, he says that the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Not one for everybody who has ever come to this world. The very hairs. And if the hairs are numbered, how much more are being? You see, he knows everything about each human being. Shall we turn to Psalm 139, the psalm we read, to see how David described this knowledge about individuals by God. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. So here David is speaking about God's knowledge of him. But as he says, he's just giving himself an example, the same way God knows about every person, so that you can say, O Lord, thou hast searched and known all, thou hast known all of us. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising, even where I sit and where I get up. My normal daily activities, you know them. You know where today I'll go, you know what I'll do, you know where even I'll sit. And not just about David, about every one of us. You see, where I'll sit, my down sitting and my uprising, the time, the period, the minute, the second I'll sit together, God knows it. Everybody, he knows about all these things, these normal activities of our lives. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou understand my thoughts afar off. Even whatever I begin to think, before the thought comes into my mind, the Lord knows I'm going to think to do this or that. See, when I'm thinking to do evil, the Lord knows it. When I'm thinking to do good, the Lord knows it. Even before tomorrow, all the thoughts that will come to my mind, he knows them. You see? Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understand my thoughts afar off, so that nothing is far from the Lord. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. When we sleep and all that we do in this world, the Lord knows it. But see how often we say we are wise, we want to live our life, and the Lord is just watching us. He just sees what you are doing. It's not amazing. It's like you have some animals in a cage. You just sit behind and you see they are moving up and down. They may not even notice you, but you are watching them. But God's own goes beyond the far, because it's not, we don't give strength to this animal, but for him, he gives us the strength and all that we want to do. Because he should know, because he gave us the strength. He gave us the energy. He gave us the day. And the day is his. The time is his. So it's not so much surprise that he knows everything about us. You see? He said that thou compasses my path, even the way I want to live my life and how I want to go about, by lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. Not one. Every way that I take. The ways of men are many. Each and every day we have so many plans. We undertake so many things. And look at the year and the years we have lived. And the Lord knows all of them before we undertake them. Isn't it amazing? That's what the Bible tells us. Commit thy ways to the Lord, and he shall bring it to pass. You see, because he knows them. So that if we live our life away from him, it's our own head. And he says, for there is not a word, verse 4, there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Before we begin to think of speaking, He created the human tongue to speak, and he gave us the ability. He withheld speech from animals. He gave it to human beings. Animals, their tongues are made that they cannot speak. But then, except by miracle that donkey spoke, Balaam's donkey. But naturally, how God has made the animals don't speak. So he knows that there's not a word in my tongue. But no, oh Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Before I form my words to speak, he knows them. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. So the Lord knows everything about all his creatures. You see, the Lord knows everything about all his creatures. And that is amazing. That also, as the psalmist says, he says that, verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Nobody. I mean, we say it's a dream, yeah, but a friend, they are paying more. You see, us, we cannot even know our friends, our relations, don't know what is in their head. But God knows everyone's thoughts in their head. He knows everything. So that the psalmist who said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Nobody can do that. Only God can have this knowledge, because he's a God of knowledge. God's knowledge extends beyond everything. So it is that nothing escapes his notice. All things are by his will. And as he gave energy and strength to activities, nothing also escapes his notice. Because everything is before him. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The God who is the judge of all the earth, so that if we hear that God will judge, and if we have not repented of sin, we should be afraid, because he knows everything about us. From our infancy to our old age, the day will die, he knows everything. So that nothing, all creature, both animal, animated, inanimate, living and unliving things, all, everything, and specifically speak about us who have actions to take and have many things to do, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. Yeah, his knowledge is so clear about us. It is open before him. And as we read in the last time, said that the night is like darkness to him. He sees through everything. He sees through the secret of all things. So it is that all that happens in the entire universe, the rising of nations and their falls, are all before him. Before nations will rise up to become great, and before their fall, he knows everything about it. It's not a surprise to him that some nations are superpower and some is not. It's no surprise to him that some are great and some are not. They are all before him. If an event in all uninhabitable lands, like the volcanoes, the earthquakes, and the floods, they are all in his knowledge. He knows before they come to pass. And he really orders them to be. They are all his, part of his creation. And again, all actions of persons, whether good or bad, he knows them. All my bad deeds, he knows. All my things, all the things I do, God knows them. Though I may hide in secret to do them, the Lord knows. That is why when we confess, as we tell the Lord that everything, because there are things we cannot even tell our fellow friends, but then the Lord knows them. So we come to him, we pour our heart to him, and we don't hide anything. And then the Lord will hear, because he knows everything about us. He knows our secret sins. He knows the gossips. He knows the lies. He knows the insults. He knows everything we have ever thought that was evil. He knows about them. He knows also all things past, present, and future. Not that he knows about actions and those things that are happening, but he knows even the thing that has passed and also present and future. He knows all things before they come to pass. That is the knowledge of God. In Acts chapter 15, verse 18, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Everything in the world, he knew it before they came to be, or they were ever done. In Isaiah 46, verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. From ancient times, the things that are not yet done, the Lord declares. We can remember the captivity of the people of Israel. You know, all the prophets brought the prophecies to them. God spoke through them. And then, you can remember the time of Jeremiah. He was warning them. They were taken. Isaiah and others prophesied. And exactly the time of their return, the Lord also brought them. These were all prophesied. The Lord spoke about them years before they happened. So that Isaiah 46 verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning, he can declare that this and so will be done, and it is going to be done. Nobody is able to do that. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. Even, for instance, we think of the end of the world. He has said the world will come to an end. People doubt him that it is going to, because we look at the Bible and many prophecies that were given by his prophet, his word that was given to the prophet has come to pass. We can think of the incarnation of Christ. There were so many prophecies in the Old Testament about Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, and his incarnation coming into the flesh, God coming into the flesh, and the work he was coming to do. We were given details of his work, and after we were told that he will return back to heaven, and he did. The Lord Jesus Christ came to do everything, and returned. And these were all foretold by God. So you see, he knows things in the future. The things that are not done yet, he knows and he foretells them. Even the voluntary acts and choices of individuals, and even their names, are all known to him. The things that people choose to do just in their normal life. We think of King Josiah. There was a prophecy in 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 2, about him that he was coming to destroy idolatry. years before he was born. And truly he was born, his name was Josiah. He came to accomplish that prophecy in the Bible. We think of Cyrus, king of Persia. He also, Prophet Isaiah gave prophecy about him, but when he came to be, it was the time of the captivity, he made the people of Israel to return to come and build the temple. Well, the prophecy said that he will build, God said he will use him to build his temple. He will use him to accomplish such purposes. In, we have this in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 28. Let me just read that one to you. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 28. That saith of Cyrus, is my shepherd, and I shall perform all my pleasure. He been saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Here was a prophecy that was given that Cyrus was not being at all. At this time, even the Persians were not a kingdom yet. It was until the time of, I think, the Assyrian Empire, the Chaldeans came, the Babylon Empire came, and then Persia and Medes. So many years. Cyrus' name was in the prophecy that he, God was going to use him. And we find this accomplished. We have it in Ezra chapter 1. Ezra chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all kingdoms, all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judea. Cyrus, when he came to become king, he was given the prophecies of Isaiah. He read them, and he was acquainted with the fact that though he didn't know God, yet the God of Israel prophesied of his coming to be a king of Persia and a king of the world. So he ordered, so that the coming of God Israel to come and build the temple was ordered by Cyrus. It was stopped later on. When the enemy stopped it, the people of Israel wrote back to the king of Persia. That time it wasn't Cyrus to look into the records, but Cyrus had given a command. So when that king also looked through, he saw it, he said they should continue to work. So that the rebuilding of the temple was prophesied even before Cyrus, who ordered it, came into being. And this was God's own knowledge. It tells us of his knowledge of things. And these are historical facts. It was Cyrus who ordered the building of the temple. And Isaiah prophesied before Cyrus became king. Isaiah died years, over 100 plus years before Cyrus became king of Persia. So it tells us of the knowledge of God, of, so that when we read the prophecies in the Bible and what God has said, we have to take heed, because what he has so many things before that has been accomplished. So that if he tells us about the world today and all that will happen, though it hasn't happened yet because all his prophecies has come to pass. If you read the prophecies of Prophet Daniel about the various empires that were to come, they've all come to pass. And this tells us of the God's his knowledge of future things, and that he's able to tell us things that has never been. So that when he tells us, like today we know science, they don't know the origin of life, they are searching, but God tells us life comes from him. But they don't believe it, because they don't have faith in him. And those of us who know the Lord know that is true. Life, they can never know life. They can never know the origin of life, except they have believed what God has said. For he created life. Life is not a chemical. It's life is that which God gives. It's a living thing. Okay, so, and we have many other prophecies that have been fulfilled, which were announced many years before. We can even think of Jacob and Esau. We were told that one of the younger, the elder will serve the younger. It came to pass, and many, many of them. In the Bible, we have so many of them that were fulfilled. So that when we think of God's knowledge of future things, we say it is his foreknowledge of all things. So that God's knowledge is not just knowledge, it's foreknowledge. Because he knows all things beforehand. unlike us, which we only know by what has happened, even if we have been told with the reality, but God, the thing that has not been, it is to him as if they have been. Because the present thing that has been and what he knows before is the same. It never changes. So his knowledge of future things is his foreknowledge, and that is his knowledge. And also his knowledge of future things is not by probability, either it will be or not. We say by chance, no. It is by certainty. What he has said is not maybe or not. That is why, again, today's so-called prophet are liars, because they may say, oh, God said this, and then, oh, they say, God, maybe God told me, and it didn't happen. You ask them, well, God told me. No, no, no. Whatever God says is sure to happen. It's certain. Even thousands of years, it's happened. What about the thing just in a few days? And you say, no, just a year. You say, but thousands of years, God doesn't give probability. He says, what will happen, because the fact is that it is done by his will. It is by his permission, his command, that things are done. So that, as again, this so-called prophet are liars, because God wills all things. So that if God has said something, and God will always remain truthful. So if he has said something, he will not, I mean, manifest that he is not truthful. God is God of truth. God is faithful. God, there's no darkness. There's no shadow of turning with him. There's no lies with God. So that if somebody claims to speak on his behalf and uses lies, he's not speaking from God. You see? So these so-called prophets are liars. They are not speaking on behalf of God. God, there's no secondary truth or prophecy. If God has said, God has said. And it is truth. It is all that has to be. So that only God is all-knowing, or we say he's omniscient, he's all-knowing. And his knowledge covers everything. And as we know, the manner of his knowledge is incomprehensible by us. We cannot understand. It is, as the psalmist said, it is too high for us. And we cannot think of how God knows all things. And as I said, you know, we cannot think of how he knows all things, but it shouldn't surprise us, because he made all things. And he that made all things, is it surprising that he should know everything about them? Those who manufacture cars, you see, when you open an engine and all the various companies, these things, you don't know how they... But then those who made the cars, they know everything. They know how each component works and how they put them together. They can dismantle it, put them back. The same way God, who made the world and everything, he knows everything. He knows the tiniest of atom and whatever is in the universe, though we may not discern it. So that the all-knowing God, his all-knowingness or his omniscience is the attribute of the three persons in the Godhead. When we think of God knowing all things, we should not limit it to the Father alone. And the last time I explained that, yes, when you think of the Lord Jesus, why he was on earth, his deity was covered, though he showed part of it. But he could say that he doesn't know when the end will come, because he was speaking as a man. But other times, we are told that he knows all things. For instance, in John 16, verse 30, we are told, the disciples told him, now we are sure that now thou knowest all things, and needeth not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou comest from forth from God. Thou knowest all things. This is attribute of omniscience. It was ascribed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me read to you, I think, John chapter 2. Not that. John chapter 2, verse 23 to 25. Now, when he was, about Lord Jesus Christ, now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men. That's the all-knowing. He knew all men. He knows what is in our heart. And needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Only God knows this. Only God knows what is in man. Meaning the mind, the heart, the heart that we say we have used to believe in, if it is true, he knows it. so that the omniscience ascribed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, in John chapter 21, verse 17. Here, the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to Simon that, he should take care of the sheep, of the church and the brethren. And look at the response of Peter. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. So he said, Peter said, you know my mind. If I don't love thee, you know it. So that it's like, you know what is in my mind, so I don't need to answer. Who knows the things in the human mind? Only God. And here we find the Lord Jesus Christ knowing all things. So, and that is one of the, some of the passages that proves to us that the Lord Jesus Christ was God when he came on earth. He wasn't just a mere man. So coming to an end, let us remember that since God has knowledge of all things, then no sin escapes his knowledge or his notice. Nothing, evil, no sin escapes his notice. We may hide to do things, so that people can know, but not God. So that he is the one who gives punishment or recompense to all unrepentant sinners. If sinners do not repent of their sins, at the day of judgment, he will give them the right recompense. That's why the Bible always pictures his judgment as righteous, because he will judge according to what people have done. He will punish sinners according to what they have done, because he knows all things. And that though people may have died thousands of years ago, their records are with him. He has never forgotten. His knowledge, unlike our God, forgets things. He never forgets anything. All those that live from Adam's time are throughout to the end of the world. All that people have done, he has the records. He knows them. He will not miss anything. Each individual will appear before him on the day of judgment. Again, he also knows all who are born again by his Spirit, as he knows true believers in Christ. In 2 Timothy 2:19, we are told God knows them that are his. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God, starting with verse 18, speaking about false teachers that were enticing people to falsehood, and then he said that those that God knows, God knows that they will never be enticed by these false teachers. So he said that who concern the truth have erred, talking about these false teachers, first Hymenaeus and Philetus, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. He knows those who have been genuinely born again by his Spirit in the church. In the physical church, the kind of local church, we may all claim to be born again, but the Lord knows if we are genuinely born again and we are part of his people. But none is saved by chance. Salvation is not by chance. As some people think that, they can believe in God, Jesus Christ is saved. Salvation is not by chance at all. It is God who chooses those he saves. As we have the doctrine of election, which all those that he preordains, he saves in time, and he chooses to become his true Lord Jesus Christ. So that he knows all those whom he has saved. If his Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit is his, the third person of the Trinity, so that although the Holy Spirit have regenerated, God knows them. So that we should not worry if there's so much people who claim to be spiritual and then they don't want to know the truth. We only pray for them, but the Lord knows them that are his. He knows those whose heart he has changed and those whose heart he dwells. So that being part of God's church on earth does not guarantee us being part of his church in heaven. Only if we are connected, if we are united with Christ by his life, then God knows us. We are his people. His knowledge goes to that far, even in his church. He knows all the troubles and sufferings of his people. This one, the comforting, one another comforting aspect, He knows our troubles, He knows our sufferings, He knows what will happen to us even tomorrow. He appoints all them, all these sufferings and all troubles for our good, for He knows them. Nothing happens in our life by chance, so that well, to us, it surprises us, but God knows that this and that will happen to us. The pressures of life and disappointment and the losses, He knows all of them, but He doesn't just know them, He appoints them. And this is a settled fact that every believer must put his mind on, so that whatever happens to me, though I may be surprised and troubled, I look up to Him who orders all things. So that no believer in Christ should despair of his or her condition. Yes, our troubles may be, we may feel the difficulties of our life, but we should not be despair, because they are all ordered by our loving Heavenly Father, who knows them all, who has ordered them all. You see, so His knowledge of all things, His omniscience, is a comfort to us, because nothing happens to us out of chance, by His own purpose. He has His purpose in them all, though unknown to us. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. All things, because He who knows all things and have ordered all things appoint these things for us. So that when we ever be thankful to the all-knowing God, is our God, if we are His, one of those that He has saved through the Lord Jesus Christ, we are His people, and that everything around us, He knows it. And it will tell us that we should not be afraid of what will happen to our life. See, sometimes fear, the fear of men and the fear of things, causes us not to be faithful to the Lord. But He knows all those things, so that we should not be afraid of them. If He intends to protect and keep us, no one can harm us. Nothing can touch us. So that is another thing, this charismatic teaching on that demons and witches, as if God doesn't know that demons will come and Satan will come and do harm to His children. God knows everything. So we need not be afraid of anything. If troubles come, we call to Him. We call on Him to help us. May the Lord help us as we think on these things.